Drupal Voices is a series of interviews with people contributing to the Drupal community. Brought to you by Drupalize Me. Become a Drupal super genius from the convenience of your own living room. Lullabot's extensive Drupal training library contains almost 200 hours of streaming video, including in-depth classes on subjects such as CCK, Views, Drupal theming, jQuery and JavaScript, Drupal performance and scalability, and new Drupal 7 specific videos being released every month. Get immediate access to the entire library when you become a member. For more information, visit drupalize.me today. Go, Drupalize yourself.
My name is Doug Green. I'm the release manager at examiner.com. The company probably wants me to tell you that we're a quantified top 100 website. We launched on Drupal 7 last September, I believe it was. It might have been August, a pre-Drupal 7 release. We have some very innovative architecture that uses MongoDB for most of our field storage, as well as a few other sessions and caching and queues and other things. I work with a great team at Examiner, and I shouldn't start naming names because then I'll forget people. But I know that a lot of people know the team.
Okay, and what does that mean to be a release manager?
Read my article in the new Drupal Watchdog magazine. Thank you, Taiguan. A release manager, I'm responsible for reviewing all the code, reviewing it for performance, security, risk assessment, doing the merge request. I'm kind of the role Angie plays for Drupal. I play for Examiner.
So kind of like a core committer, but also product manager fusion, or?
Not really a product manager. I'm the guy that is responsible for the releases to make sure that anything we put on the website is good for the website.
I see. And so what are you going to be talking about with Chicks in terms of MongoDB and your sort of experiences? What was it really driving you to have to use something that was having, what was the bottleneck, and why did you have to turn to MongoDB?
That's a multifaceted question. I'm going to be talking about practical MongoDB, and by practical, I want to get into some of the implementation details that we've done. Last few talks that Charlie's given have been more of a theoretical computer science type of implementation, trying to convince the Drupal community why you might want to do this. You know, this talk will be more how we did this. The why we did it, though, a little bit was we had insane performance requirements, and with the restriction that every page had to be unique. So with Drupal, the way that you normally solve that is with page caching. But if every page is unique, you can't cache the page. Well, Drupal 7 implements a lot of render caching, which definitely you can take advantage of. But still, we had a very complicated product that had fields all over the place, and using the core field storage in SQL would involve lots of joins. And it's our experience with MySQL that joins really can't be indexed quickly. With a typical example, you might look at, say you had a content type that had 20 fields on it. You know, those 20 fields would be in 20 different tables. Even with Drupal 7, with the entity load multiples, I'm getting a little bit too technical here, maybe not. By the way, Ketch wrote an excellent article in Drupal Watchdog talking about a lot of the performance improvements in Drupal 7. But it would still involve 20 SQL statements or a join of 20 tables to get all those fields, you know. And MySQL just won't perform well. And we have a site that has, we serve about 25 pages a second. In my article, I kind of give the analogy that count the number of people in the room around you, and the time it takes you to count, we've served more pages.
Right. And so typically I think of MongoDB as something that a solution like a Twitter where there's a lot of reads and writes are happening. But this sounds like you have just a lot of, you know, almost content types where you're stuffing a lot of your data into MongoDB, a database. Is that correct? Or maybe talk about, you know, the split between what's in traditional MySQL databases and how much of your data is actually being stored in MongoDB.
It's the field API. It's all the fields are in Mongo. So instead of having multiple tables in MySQL for each of your fields, you have the document object model is perfect for Drupal fields because your node fields are one object. So you want to get your node and all the fields associated with Node, and it's just one query. And you can build your indexes on the document object, and you can get it lightning fast.
And so for any one given page, for all the content that's loaded on one page, is that all coming from like one row of MongoDB database, or is it pulling from, you know, just talk about like any given page, like where the data is actually coming from, like the blocks and everything else?
Again, that's multifaceted. If I'm just showing an article, you know, all the content in the article comes out of a single query, you know, because it's all stored in a single document. All the blocks are also stored in Mongo for different reasons that Charlie will talk about in our talk, mainly the block visibility problem that you have in SQL with regexes. You know, we solved that a little bit because the document object model with Mongo allows you to have arrays, and that arrays made it easier to query on. So all of our blocks come out in a single query also for the page.
And so when you're talking about a practical MongoDB, like instead of theoretical as previously, what are some of the other sort of practical insights that you have after working with it for a while now?
Part of the talk is going to talk a little bit about how to write good queries. And how to write good queries, it doesn't matter what your language is, if it's SQL or NoSQL. Practical MongoDB, I wanted to get across the point that just because we're using a NoSQL database doesn't mean that you can't query it. You know, it's just a different language. So we're going to go through a little bit of the query syntax directly in Mongo, also show how you do that in Field API directly, and also using the MongoDB modules to query out of the database. But I also want to talk about just writing good queries, which applies both to SQL and Mongo specifically. You know, how to use a B-tree and write your index right, because so many people don't even think that you can't do a range query, say, you can't say where date is greater than or equal this, and then sort by some other field. I mean, you just can't do that and perform well.
I see. And so in being in sort of on the cutting edge of MongoDB and Drupal at Examiner, what are some other things that are sort of left to do in the module? And it seems like there's one use case that you have, but if there's other people in the community that are starting to use it, and if they have other things that need to be added to the sort of that database abstraction layer.
Well, the big, big project still to do is we do not have a dbtng driver. So we don't use Mongo for everything. Charlie went through an exercise about a year ago in San Francisco to start to write a driver, and I don't know if it's possible, and I'm going to have, you know, the problem is that Mongo is a document object model and not a relational database. So when in Drupal core our API says to join, well, we just don't join. You have to denormalize all the data into your document. So, you know, writing a driver, you know, the hack that you could do is you could write something that pattern matches on the exact queries that you expect out of Drupal core, but that's not, you know, scalable to contrib modules. So that would be the big thing to solve. If, you know, we could get all of Drupal on Mongo, it's possible to get even faster performance. And I remember watching Charlie's talk in San Francisco, and afterwards Barry Jasmine came up to me afterwards and he said, I've never seen a Drupal site page load so fast, you know, after seeing Charlie's, you know, hack to get it to run in Mongo. So if we could do that, I think we could get even better performance. But I think the compromise that we've got to get all the fields in there and all the blocks in there, you know, we've made huge steps to get rid of a lot of the bottlenecks. And the main reason we'd like to have a dbtng driver is now with our current solution, you have to have a SQL database and a Mongo database. And some of the node data is still stored in SQL. And you duplicate all of that into Mongo, but you get, you know, like your field API queries, a lot of it still pulls it out of MySQL, and it's possible for those things to get out of sync, you know, and that's bad.
And so, you know, there's no query caching in NoSQL. Is there, like, other layers? I don't imagine there'd even be memcache, but there's different, for a normal Drupal stack, there's like different layers of caching, page caching, and then even like varnish at the Apache layer. So are you able to use any of those layers of caching in sort of concert with your site?
No, absolutely. We use all the caching that's available to us. You know, we have, I think that the Examiner project helped get memcache for Drupal 7 in a solid state and usable. We have CDNs, we have Nginx, So we cache, you know, everywhere we can, but still you need content in a lot of places. So we use the render cache a lot, so there are some blocks on the page that you just say don't have to refresh but once an hour. And then, you know, the Drupal 7, you know, block caching along with, you know, how we use in MongoDB allows us to stuff that into a memcache, and then it's only built once an hour, and then that stuff works great. You said something earlier, and I'm not sure I caught you right. You said Mongo doesn't do query caching, and that's not correct. Mongo does, you know, do query caching, but that's not at the level that I program at. That's in the C, you know, database engine.
Oh, okay. So with MySQL, you would have all these joins, and the actual process of creating that query would be cached. And so just the same in MongoDB, if you're – I just assume that since it's just sort of – getting one level, there wouldn't be anything to cache, but I guess there are caching layers, is what you're saying.
Oh, there's definitely caching layers. Maybe, you know, you and I were miscommunicating a little bit. SQL definitely, you know, the product, you know, MySQL or Oracle or Unify or whatever the database product is, will cache their data, and it's whatever that database engine provides. Mongo itself will cache, you know, data as well, and you know, you can see the cache warm up pretty quickly. I mean, Mongo uses a huge amount of data and a huge amount of memory. The design decisions between the current generation of NoSQL databases and the 30-year-old technology called SQL databases is that 30 years ago, we did not have a Linux operating system. And 30 years ago, the database had to manage memory and disk itself because the operating system didn't do it very well. And the newer NoSQL products, the decision point is, we've got pretty good operating systems today. Let's let the operating system manage these things. So you build a new server, you put Mongo on it, and only Mongo, so that, you know, it's the only application on it, and let the operating system handle, you know, your memory and your caching and that.
Cool. And finally, maybe you could just talk in reflection, you know, on Examiner adopted Drupal 7 very early, even before it was released, and you've been sort of on the cutting edge of helping get a lot of modules updated. And so maybe just talk about, you know, the process of doing that and why you needed to do that because of some of the scaling needs that you required.
We did it because we thought that the performance requirements that Examiner had would require us, and we didn't think we could do it in a traditional system. Sure, you could have done it with a traditional system if you bought a lot of hardware, but, you know, it was not our plans to do it with a lot of hardware. And I think I'm at liberty at this point to share the amount of hardware we're running and some of the performance numbers. And I don't have the stat sheet in front of me, so I'll do it a little off the top of my head. But we get anywhere from 2 to 4 million visitors a day, unique visitors. We serve that with, I think it is 11 different web servers, which are on rotation from an Nginx system. 4 different SQL servers, which are master slave. So our setup really is for our production site. We have 1 SQL server with a slave of it, and then we have a back office with a, you know, a master slave off of that. So really, our production, you know, website is served with 1 SQL server and a slave and 11 webheads and a Mongo server and a slave. You know, so we do this with 13 servers, you know, which I cannot compare to what other companies do, but my expectation every time I tell people that we serve this amount of traffic off of these servers, they think that's pretty good.
Okay, well, great. Thanks.
Thank you.